Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. 888-623-3646. Got a jam-packed show coming y'all way today. Thank you so much for joining the party. Really, really appreciate it, no doubt about it. There's a lot of stuff to get into. Going to have J.B. Bickerstaff, head coach for the Detroit Pistons, number one seed in the East Detroit Pistons, came back from a 3-1 deficit. Obviously, they won that series against Orlando 4-3, advancing to the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Cleveland Cavaliers, who won their Game 7 against the Toronto Raptors. So it's going to be Detroit going up against Cleveland. Obviously, Jamal Mosley, head coach for the Orlando Magic, lost his job this morning following that Game 7 loss yesterday afternoon, even though I thought he lost it after the Game 6 loss on Friday night. But we'll get into all of that as the show progresses. But you know where my mind is. You know where my heart is, right? You know where it is, right? It's about the New York Knicks, baby. It's about the playoffs tonight. It's about Game 1 of the Eastern Conference semifinals at the Garden. You understand? That's right. Kick that music. That's what this is about, baby. This is what we've been waiting for right here. That's what I'm talking about. Say, go, New York, go, New York, go. Say, go, New York, go, New York, go. Now, see, the thing about it is, I didn't really have to talk about the New York Knicks too much over the last couple of days because, as I told you, you know, I got people that work for me that live in Atlanta, Georgia. And, you know, it's been an APB out for everybody. Because I told y'all what the New York Knicks was going to do. I didn't know they were going to be up 47 in the first half. I didn't know that was going to happen. But the way they trolloped the Atlanta Hawks and ran them out of the ATL, out of the state of Georgia, put them in depression protocol, for crying out loud, because of that stomping the New York Knicks had. I'm not going to lie to you. I expected the New York Knicks to be going up against the Boston Celtics. I expected the New York Knicks, you understand, to another Eastern Conference semifinal berth, their fourth straight, by the way. I expected them to be going up against the Boston Celtics. And then we saw Jason Tatum have the calf injury, the calf stiffness and all of that stuff. And I said, whoa, wait a minute now. That's a problem. Because if this brother can't go, then you already made modifications. Stuff might not look right. They don't need to be putting him out on that court because the last thing you need to do is expose him to the potential of another injury. Remember, when you get injured in one leg, like the Achilles tear that he had, I believe it was in his left leg, you're going to overcompensate with the healthy leg. So when you get back on the basketball court, it's stuff that's going to happen. And we couldn't risk that with Jason Tatum. That could not happen. We couldn't allow that. We couldn't allow him to be subjected to that. That's a problem. That's a problem. And we have to make sure that that didn't happen to that brother, okay? So my attitude was like, yo, you don't want him to come back. You don't want to put him at risk. And props to the Boston Celtics and their medical staff for insisting that he not go out there. Because God help them with their $350 million investment in this brother. Had he gone out there and he injured the other leg. And to be quite honest with you, you know what? Boston still had enough to be able to beat the Sixers, but it wasn't meant to be because led by Tyrese Maxey, that stud, that star, point guard for the Philadelphia 76ers, arguably the fastest player in the league, who's got a J, by the way, who can finish at the basket, by the way, who's got all-around skills and is an elite performer, by the way. That dude, Tyrese Maxey, you understand, doing what he does had a lot to do with the Philadelphia 76ers winning this game. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's two things that stand out. One of them is Joel Embiid. I mean, hobbled, had his teammates running to his knees not once but twice, hobbled and all, still played the entire fourth quarter, even with Tyrese Maxey dropping 30 on 61% shooting, with 11 rebounds and 7 assists, by the way, 22 points in the second half, and with the rookie, VJ Edgecombe, making him one of the star young backcourts in all of the NBA. He had 23 points and starred on both ends of the court. It didn't usurp the performance from Joel Embiid. Hobbled and all, still goes out there and gives them 34 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists. Led all scorers with his biggest output in the series. And remember, he didn't play games 1, 2, and 3. He didn't play games 1, 2, and 3. And so because of that, he did what he does. And listening to Joel Embiid, he knew it because game 7s haven't worked for him in the past, but it did this past Saturday night. Listen to what Joel Embiid had to say about getting over the hump against Boston.
Just locking in, obviously I play these guys for a while now. You kind of have, you know what they're doing. They kind of know what we do. So obviously coming back down 3-1 is tough. I understand it because we just did it. And then obviously missing three of those games and really, you know, four because, you know, the first game was kind of just me getting back to myself. It's tough, but, you know, it feels good to win. Obviously, we got a bigger goal in mind.
They do have a bigger goal in mind, but it ain't happening. Now, mind you, Philadelphia 76ers can do it. They got the personnel. Listen, from a personnel perspective, let's keep it a buck. They're better than the New York Knicks. From a personnel perspective, from a talent perspective, Mitchell Robinson and Karl Anthony Towns ain't Joel Embiid. They ain't Joel Embiid. Let's get that out the way right now. Okay? Tyrese Maxey, if there is a player you're worried about Brunson going up against, it's that brother. Because let me tell you something right now. Just like people might have a problem guarding Jalen Brunson, they're going to have a problem guarding Tyrese Maxey. Knicks going to have a problem guarding this brother. Because he's something special. VJ Edgecombe, a rookie, okay, who can hit threes, who can finish in the open court or at the basket, whose athleticism is there, and who ain't shying away from any smoke. That's something to be reckoned with. Paul George did not play bad in this series. Had a couple of good games, and by the way, was defending pretty well against Jaylen Brown. Philadelphia, Kelly Oubre. I like Kelly Oubre. Andre Drummond's another big body to throw out there when you want to spell for Joel Embiid. He can at least rebound. Nick Nurse has won a championship as a coach, just like Mike Brown. Listen, Mike Brown hasn't won it as a head coach. But Nick Nurse has. Look, y'all, we can't summarily dismiss the Philadelphia 76ers. There is no doubt about that. But I believe that the New York Knicks, this is their destiny. This is it. The level of urgency that they needed to attach to themselves, this is it. They split 4 games with the Philadelphia 76ers this year. They have no answer for Joel Embiid. On one leg, a few years back, he averaged nearly 35 a game against the New York Knicks 2 years ago in the playoffs. He averaged nearly 35 on one leg. That's who Joel Embiid is. So when you look at it from that standpoint, this is nothing to sneeze at. Nothing to sneeze at. But I will say this. New York Knicks can take him. If Karl Anthony Towns shows up, I believe in Cat. But let me be very, very clear so we all understand one another. This ain't Atlanta. What he did against the Atlanta Hawks, this is an entirely different beast that he's going up against. Because Joel Embiid might not be able to do but so much against you defensively because of those knees of his, those legs of his. But offensively, he's got too much in his repertoire. He's going to get his. Joel Embiid going to give you 25 a night. He's going to give you 25 a night in his sleep. What are you going to do about that if you're the New York Knicks? If you're Mike Brown, you're going to have to clamp down defensively, no doubt. Not only are you going to have to do that offensively, you're going to have to be more efficient. And here's the question. Is it best for them to go through Karl Anthony Towns as your point center, per se, and have Jalen Brunson off the ball just like you did in the last 3 games against Atlanta? Or are you going to go back to conventional stuff that you've done? Because after all, Jalen Brunson did average 28 against the Sixers this year. To me, it's not so much about Jalen Brunson. I'm not worried about Jalen Brunson getting his offensively. I am worried about what he's going to do defensively. Who's he going to guard? You ain't going to guard Maxey. You ain't going to guard VJ Edgecombe. You ain't going to guard Paul George. What's he going to do? I don't know. These are the kind of things that I'm paying attention to and I'm looking at right now. It's going to be a very interesting series. Wouldn't surprise me at all if the New York Knicks and the Sixers went seven games. But I expect the New York Knicks in the seventh game at Madison Square Garden to close the deal and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'll tell you that much. That's where I'm at with it. That's what I say. What about you? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Want to get to Jaylen Brown, who the Sixers beat. I want to... I want y'all to listen to Jaylen Brown because I must say I'm taken aback by what he did. He scored 33 points in game seven. He averaged 28.7 points per game during the regular season, primarily without the services of Jason Tatum. He was a league MVP candidate. He's brilliant beyond your wildest imagination. Great guy, great character guy. Jaylen Brown's a special dude. I don't think his shining moment was this series, and I certainly don't think his shining moment was Sunday. The Boston Celtics had lost game seven Saturday night. In losing that game, they lost a 3-1 lead in the series. And having a 3-1 lead in the series and losing that series to the Philadelphia 76ers, the Boston Celtics, them and the Lakers, being the two top basketball franchise in NBA annals. The Boston Celtics had never lost a 3-1 lead in the series until this Saturday night, which is not good. I know they didn't have Jason Tatum. And I know that other cats didn't step up. Derek White started off strong, didn't finish strong. I got that part. And Jaylen Brown, you had 33 points, but here's the deal. Celtics are 18 points down. They pulled to within one. And the Sixers spent the last 3 minutes launching three. I'm sorry, the Celtics spent the last 3 minutes launching threes. Six straight threes that they missed. Didn't even try to go to the basket. But yet, hours after blowing a 3-1 lead and losing to the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round after winning 56 games when you projected to win 38, 39, after winning 56 games and being a number two seed and going home in the first round, what does Jaylen Brown do? He goes on the air on Twitch, streaming live, talking about flopping and Joel Embiid. Listen to Jaylen Brown here.
Flopping has ruined our game. Joel Embiid is a great player, one of the best bigs in basketball history. Flops. He know it. This ain't breaking news. This ain't, you know what I mean? It is what it is. I can clip it up. Like I said, y'all can post it on these paid accounts that y'all, these bot, whatever. That's just my opinion.
That was bad enough. But he went a step further by that than that. Listen to what he had to say about the officials.
Our team finished dead last in getting calls. And I was vocal about it. I got thrown out some games or et cetera. And they keep saying like this push off and this stuff like that. You know how many players do that? That is such that's the common play, a basketball play. Every player does it. So why are you targeting me? It clearly had an agenda. Like maybe because I spoke and it was critical of the refs in the regular season. So you know how they responded. Like you're gonna lead the playoffs in offensive fouls.
Come on, man. Look. Ladies and gentlemen, if you heard me say this a lot recently, it's because it's necessary. There are influencers, and then there are journalists. I'm a journalist, maybe with influence, but I'm a journalist. And it's important that you understand that, ladies and gentlemen, because I took some heat a couple of years ago because I talked about how Jaylen Brown wasn't liked. I didn't say by me. I love him. He's a good brother. A sensational brother, actually. Next level brilliant. All right? And a fantastic basketball player who is a two-way player, plays on both ends of the floor. But were you saying that when you were up 3-1? You, ladies and gentlemen, that's a bad look. You can't open your mouth on Twitch hours after blowing a 3-1 lead and talk about the officials are out to get you and how flopping has ruined the game. Did it ruin the game? Shaq complained about Vlade Divac flopping. Did it ruin the game of basketball? You have any idea how great this game is? The fact of the matter is that the Boston Celtics have spent far too much time depending on a three. They were 61 for 180 on open threes in the series. Why the hell didn't you go to the rack? Why did you try to get a foul call? You trying to tell us that you didn't have any faith that you get a foul call and that's why you launched threes? It didn't stop you from going up 3-1. Three of the four games that the Boston Celtics lost in this series was on their home court. On their home court. You can't blame the officials for that. You can't do that. And I know that Jaylen Brown is not lying when he's saying that, guess what? He doesn't get favorable calls. He's right about that. And I know that there are people that don't like him because he's brilliant. He doesn't suffer fools. He doesn't kowtow. He doesn't play those games. And people don't like that. The brother's special. He's a good brother. A very special brother who's accomplished a great deal of things. Nothing but mad love for Jaylen Brown. Nothing but mad love for him. But to say that, ladies and gentlemen, this ain't 2-3 weeks later, a month later, whatever. In the immediate aftermath of blowing a 3-1 series lead, that's your argument? Flopping has ruined the game and the officials are out to get you? That's just not accepting accountability for what y'all didn't do as a team. It's just not. And to me, that is the issue with Jaylen Brown. I'm here to tell you, that's the issue with him. I knew he wasn't liked. I knew it was unfair. I knew he's incredibly marketable. I know he's great for basketball. And you don't get calls. And I'm the one that went off when he was ejected from the San Antonio Spurs game, which was egregious. We wanted to see him against Victor Wembanyama because both of them were top MVP candidates. And the officials took that away from us. And the official that ejected him wasn't even involved in a damn play. But in the same breath, having said all of that, you had a 3-1 lead, bro. You had a 3-1 lead. And, you know, Joel Mazzulla had him guarding Joel Embiid at time. Joel Embiid is like, look at this little boy on me. Look, I'm 7'1", 270. What y'all think y'all doing? And Joel Embiid just like was just owning everybody. He's like, I'm not guarding you, and I'm not going outside the three-point lane. I'm 271, 270. Give me the ball right here. Ain't that what you want to see from a big boy? You want to see a big boy that's letting you know you're a little man. Mind your manners. What the hell are you doing guarding me? That's how you want to treat him. That's what Shaq would advise. Get your big ass down in the post. Drop step. Pin your behind right on him. And take it to the hole. That's what you're supposed to do. Little man's supposed to be guarding you like that. And that's exactly how Joel Embiid treated him. Props to him. Plain and simple. Carl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson better be careful that he don't do it to them. Because Joel Embiid is coming. And the New York Knicks had better have an answer. 888 Mad Dog 6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. I did not forget to get into the Game 7s that happened yesterday. The Detroit Pistons coming back from a 3-1 deficit. Game 6 was it. Game 6 was when they were 24 down at halftime. Game 6 was when they came back and outscored Orlando by 38. Held them to 19 points in the second half. Game 6 was really when Coach Jamal Mosley of the Orlando Magic lost his job. Because when you haven't been out of the first round in the 5 years as a head coach, and you have an opportunity to finally get over that hump, and you miss the opportunity because you can't get your team to score more than 19 points in the second half. You can't get your team to hold on to a 24-point lead with Apollo Banchero as the coach. Something's missing from all of that. It's just that simple. Something's missing from all of that. That's what happened to the Orlando Magic. I like Jamal Mosley a lot. I'm very, very sad that he lost his job. I was rooting for him. Maybe not to win the series because I don't root against J.B. Bickerstaff unless he's going against my Knicks. But I like Jamal Mosley. And I know he knows basketball. And you just at some point in time, somebody's got to step up and help Paolo Banchero. And again, the man had 38 last night. And it wasn't enough. Because Cade Cunningham had Tobias Harris, a 15-year veteran, drop 30. And have the best playoff series of his career. Banchero had 38 on 56% shooting with 9 rebounds and 6 assists. I mean, can somebody help the brother? Can somebody help him? I like Banchero a lot. I always have. But I'm so happy for Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris, I say this about a few guys, but he applies. Tobias Harris is one of the best people you'll ever meet. He's a really good guy, y'all. And I've never seen him that assertive and that demonstrative in playing his game the way he was yesterday for Game 7. I was really proud of him. And if that Tobias Harris shows up, the Pistons could go to the finals. Now, it ain't going to happen because they ain't beat my Knicks. Okay, I ain't going for that. But I just got love for him, man. I mean, I've known Tobias Harris for years. And he's one of the better guys, the better people that you will ever find in professional sports. And his game was always there. He just was never assertive. And you were looking at the Detroit Pistons, and I thought they were going to lose Game 6. Because I was saying to myself, wait, Cade Cunningham don't have anybody that's going to step up and help him offensively. And Tobias Harris said, I will, and did it. Number love for him. I'm glad the Pistons are moving on. I love their fan base. I love their moxie. I love J.B. Bickerstaff. I love Tobias Harris. Cade Cunningham's a star, y'all. Brother special. His first playoff series, going to a Game 7, showing up the way that he did, showing up the way that he did in Game 6, showing up the way that he did in Game 5. He is the face of the franchise, the leader of the franchise, and showed up and played like it. That's what superstars do. That's who he is. They got Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell, James Harden next, Jared Allen next with the second half he had yesterday. It's a lot to get into, and we're going to do just that. So stick around. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. More of your calls in a minute. Again, you're listening live to Stephen A. Mad Dog Sports Radio. Holla.